Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Net Live on TheVolleyballNetwork.com.
Riley Salmon has got it off the left side. What a spectacular match.
The world's best volleyball podcast.
But don't worry about it. Now's the time. One side out. Shut the door.
Now it's the only one.
Rogers and Dahlhauser won the gold medal.
Streaming live from SoCal, Siberia, this is The Net Live, happening now.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in The Net Live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in The Net Live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in The Net Live.
Loy Ball, and you're on The Net Live.
Ryan Malone, and you're in The Net Live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in The Net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in The Net Live with Willie and Barney.
Yes, yes. Keep it coming. I think we put in a minute and a half of applause here at the beginning. Make us feel good. Welcome, everyone, to The Net Live. Today is February 22nd, Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific. We're glad you are joining us here on the Volleyball Network. We have an incredible show for you today. A lot of great stuff on this show. We're going to connect with new UCLA head coach Mike Seeley. We're going to talk to two-time gold medalist Kerry Walsh. We're joined by the newest member, guest host here, Chris Geeter McGee, is in the Redondo Beach home court.
It's nice to be here.
Welcome. Welcome, my friend.
I'd like to make this permanent.
Yeah, this is awesome.
This is where the magic happens, by the way.
Right here in my loft. That's right.
It's a nice house. I like that Dan just has to lay on the couch over there.
He's been moved from the table.
I always wondered where he sits when I listen to this show.
He used to sit where you are now, but you know he understands where he is in the hierarchy.
Understand your role.
That's what happens when you talk bad about indoor.
That's right. You abuse indoor on The Net Live, and you end up on the couch. You lose your spot. And your microphone, as a matter of fact. So no chance for Dan to fight back today.
Amazing that you abuse indoor with Reed and Barney. Talk about being out on an island.
I'm just bombarded by him.
So Dan's going to be relaxing on the couch. Maybe later we'll get him a Mai Tai or something to just relax and loosen up a little bit. Try and get him to expand his horizons somewhere. So, Geeter, what does the beach off-season look like for you? I mean, aside from hanging out in my loft here.
Oh, well, I take a couple months off, I eat bad food, and then I start getting back in shape. Who are we kidding, Barney? For me, there's no off-season. I mean, as soon as the AVP ends, I'm right into football season, which has kind of turned into my favorite thing, doing play-by-play for high school football on Fox, and then it's right into basketball. I've done a little bit of play-by-play for the Big West and some Pac-10 sidelines. So
excellent.
We've been busy.
I'm looking to follow the Chris Geeter McGee career path to success. Is there a book coming out or is it a pamphlet?
Only if you guys write it, but I can dictate it to you.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, normally we get a little weekend review of what's been going on. Reed, let's start with you because I know you had a huge match over there in Russia.
Yeah, we had a big match. We came up short. Such a bummer. It was an electric crowd. It was really phenomenal to play in. I mean, it was like 4,000 or 5,000 people, standing room only. And we had one of those 0-4 flashbacks. We were down 2-1, down 16-8 in the fourth set.
Ooh.
And made a huge comeback. And I'm telling you, when it got to like 14, 15, 16, I mean, the place was absolutely off the hook. And we carried it into the fifth set and just errors. Errors killed it, and we lost 15-13, which was a bummer. So now we're tied with that team for second. So,
Errors or Dave Lee?
We both had pretty good stats, but if you listen to our video session today, it's pretty much our fault that we lost. I hit 700, but apparently I didn't dig enough balls.
It's always your fault, right, Reed?
Yeah, but that goes along with the territory. But
hey, Reed, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm always, I'm still coaching girls' club volleyball and stuff, and I'm always using examples. When you were talking about 4,000 to 5,000 people in that five-set match, you've been in so many great matches. Does it ever get old competing in those kind of atmospheres and those kind of opportunities?
No, not at all. In fact, it kind of fuels it. You know, when you're playing in a some smaller gym with a crowd or a team that's not even into it. You know, I like to go toe to toe with the team first of all. Somebody that's competing hard, against you. That's where I find the thrill. But also, there's an interesting component to professional volleyball where there's almost like this entertainment thing that you have to bring. And the crowd, doesn't want you to just go out there like a robot and play. They want you to be kind of engaged with them. And so,
have you watched Gladiator to learn how to do that?
Are you not entertained? speaking of movie ties, we were out late that night, and there was kind of a big time sponsor of the soccer team, and we were speaking through a translator, and it was a bizarre night. To say the least, but one of the things he says to me, and he was a great guy, by the way, he says, it's really difficult to win against that team because they have two avatars. he was speaking of the
ones in Yankin.
The 2 7-footers. So
how is that? 7-footers in volleyball now.
Yeah, it's frightening. We played against Dinyankin and Kazakov at 7-4, and I walk by them in the hotel. And I look up and go, is this what I make normal people feel like at 6'6"? Because this is crazy to walk by these dudes.
See, my day, I never saw that. You guys obviously kept playing, so you've seen the evolution of it. But
yeah.
And they can move, too. It's not like they're stiffs.
No, they're okay.
Yeah.
They're okay. And they're not the best 7-footers. The best 7-footers are playing basketball, the most athletic guys. But,
good point.
They're pretty good players. And just by sheer size, when they put their arms up and their elbow over the net already, that's a little intimidating. You can't go low seam against Russia.
Truth be told, my alma mater, Cal State Northridge, has a 7-footer on the team.
From the United States or somewhere else?
From the United States. No, he's from somewhere else. I don't even know.
Like Axel back in the day from Germany.
Love that you've thrown out an Axel Hagar reference right there.
Who was the other guy? Oliver?
Oliver Heitman.
Heitman. Yeah, that's right. He spent a little time on the national team later. Yeah, he was there.
God, Barney, that's good.
Now, I never noticed that Dinyankin was slightly blue, being an avatar. Who was the other 7-footer on that team? Which other guy? Muserski?
Muserski. They got a new guy. He's like 19. He looks like he's 13. He's got a 13-year-old face. But, I mean, the guy is absolutely enormous. And when he connects, look out. But it's funny, in row one, when you talk about Kazakov's height, in row one, I'm standing next to him, and our opposite right now, Baranov, is Sergei Baranov. He's like 7'1 or 7'2. And I just look like I don't even belong. The funny part is when Kazakov, when he's in between plays, going to his knees and kind of bends over, and his butt like hits me in the face. That's when I know it's like, all right, man, you should. It's a good thing I jumped.
Almost time to be a libero, huh?
Seriously.
Now, there's a lot of big players and a lot of incredible athletes in that Russian league. It's surprising they haven't had more success in the international scene. They've been close to the top, but never really at the top. And, Reed, you're saying there's some rumblings over there that the pressure's on.
Yeah, the pressure's on, I think, for them. In my opinion, there's a lack of, setters. There's no lack of hitters here. I mean, you put a foreign setter with any of these teams, and they're immediately a contender. There's three foreign setters in the league this year, and all three teams are contenders. So the rumbling on the now is that if the Russian national team don't win something this summer, be it the World League or the World Championships, that salaries are going to be cut, penalties are going to be made, because the sentiment in the older generation is that these guys are getting paid way too much money and not performing to what they feel is right. So we'll see if that takes place.
They're going to have to go through you, though, in World League. They're in your pool, as a matter of fact.
Hey, we got a bet about that, don't we?
About you and Russia? I'm going to have to go back and review the tape. I don't even remember.
I just can't believe there's already talk of world championships. It's already here. It's 2 years,
yeah.
2 years after the Olympics, huh?
Yeah, it goes quickly, for sure.
And where are the world championships this year?
World championships for, is it Italy for the men?
I know Italy, yep.
The women, okay. Or maybe it's the women that are in Japan. You guys are in Italy. I think they're split.
Yeah, we're in Italy. We're in Italy, yep.
That should be an interesting event. I hope that it's spectated well. Traditionally, Italy's had great crowds, but... Yeah. Last few years, it's kind of hit or miss on the professional scene. So I hope that the national team draws huge crowds. And hopefully the other teams draw huge crowds. Many times in Japan, the biggest issue is that you go to a match with not Japan, anybody else, and there's 500 people in the place. You go with Japan, there's 10,000. But hopefully Italy has that that volleyball spectatorship where they just want to see great players, and a lot of the players on these national teams are some of the heroes from the professional league.
Barney, wasn't Italy kind of the innovator in professional indoor volleyball? Didn't our guys like Carson's guys
that was
go
the
there?
Place.
That was the place to kind of go?
That was the place. And it isn't as much anymore for a multitude of reasons, because there are other places that actually pay the money they say they're going to pay. That's the biggest one. But there are other places with money. You know, Russia has money. Turkey has money. Japan, of course, was stealing a few players, but now Korea is taking some other players. It's been diluted a little bit by some other leagues that have good money. Italy used to be the only place, and then Brazil for a little while, until the Real collapsed. Now Brazil has come back a bit, we've heard. But yeah, they traditionally have been the place with the highest level overall for the league. And I wonder if that's still true. Reed, what do you think? Is the Russian league eclipsing Italy as far as overall level from top to bottom?
No. I the thing with Italy is that you've got intelligent systems taking place, and there's a history of volleyball, and even the fans who've been watching volleyball for 40 plus years, you know, have a high volleyball IQ. Here, you know, it's the same stuff. It's just power. You know, it's we're either going to overpower you tonight or we're not. You know, there's no idea of, you know, we're struggling in this part of our game, so we're going to try to make it work over here. You just don't hear that kind of dialogue.
All right.
Hey, you know who's coming back into town? Lambo.
Is he coming back? Because I saw he changed his LinkedIn. Yeah, he changed his LinkedIn profile to AVP professional player.
He's coming back in March for a couple weeks. I think he's going to be looking for some jobs, and I think he's moving the family back, and he's getting into the job world.
Really? Well, maybe he'll be in the AVP offices next to Hans Stolfus.
That's one guy I miss.
Mike's a good guy.
He's a good guy, and I always thought the tour, you missed him when he wasn't there, just because of his overall, the way he was. You know, everyone liked him and his karma and everything like that. You know, he brought a lot to the table, and he's definitely a guy that, strumming the guitar, Danny. He's just a guy I think that would be nice to have around in some capacity.
One of the things that's always stuck with me from Mike, and this is a time period when I was younger, I was a little more than crazy, and Mike at one point in frustration said to me, "Barney, everyone's on their own path." And I often think of that, and I quote Mike saying, "That's a good way to live your life. Look, you're on your own path. Don't envy anybody else's. Don't worry about anybody else's path. Just be happy with the path that you're on, or change it, you know, do whatever. But you're on your own path."
Can I use that now?
Go ahead. Yeah.
That's good.
I think about that with salaries now. I go, really wish I'd made the money that's available now. You know, I played at the 10 years of the dumpster of volleyball, where essentially people were making all this big money into the early 90s, middle 90s, and then it, boom, gone. And then literally the year after I quit, it went way back up.
Did you have a bitterness stage about that?
No, because I'd gotten to the point where I didn't. Yeah. Had it happened 5 years earlier, if I was 5 years younger, for sure. But later, no. And people ask me about the Olympics, too, because I was off the team, and now I'm the announcer instead of playing and watching these guys win. And I had nothing but joy in my heart watching them win, because I just physically couldn't be there. I didn't do anything to get myself out or anything like that. I physically couldn't be there. I was so happy to be in the arena in another way.
People probably don't realize, the people that ask you that, you were part of that team for a long time. And when you're a part of that team, those bonds and those friendships that are formed, it can only happen by being on a team. So you see the joy. You're a big part of that. And just because you're broadcasting it, you're still a huge part of that victory. And I assume it's like that when you see your friends making good money now. You're probably pretty happy and proud because you're a part of that.
No, I think I love to see volleyball doing well.
Yeah, me too.
I think these guys ought to get compensated. Yeah. And the fact that it didn't happen for 10 years, I thought – It stunk no matter whether I was a part of it or not. It stunk. Just the fact that was going on, that a good contract was like $70,000, $80,000. And now a good contract is 10 times that.
Thank God.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Because then I can go down and hang out in Reed Pretty's sweet house and play with his toys. Get out the gym car, drive around, let Dan wreck some of his surfboards. Doesn't matter. Reed's got more money to buy more.
Whatever. Yeah. You know, I want Geeter to fill us in on some new AVP news.
Yeah.
That schedule is about to come out any day now. It's supposed to be today, actually. 12 events,
February.
6 Calis. A couple of things I like, guys, is that they are centering these events around other stuff that's going on. When they're in Huntington Beach in June, there's a longboarding and bodyboarding world championships. When they're in Malibu, longboarding and a surf festival going on. So they're starting to do that. I think they're conscious of that. What's going on in those cities that can help us. And I think that's important. Instead of having just beach volleyball be the center, it can be some other things that'll draw more people in that really, you know, enhance that beach lifestyle.
We've touched a lot on the struggles that they've had financially. We had Jason Hodel on. He talked about the loss of Crocs and a $6 million hole. Is there a new title sponsor? I've not seen an announcement. I know we talked to Jason. He said there was some stuff in the works and things were kind of getting close.
They're close, and it's really important for us to get that title. Obviously, we will survive without it, but with it, it can really bump us up in terms of paying for the TV production, in terms of adding a couple more events, in terms of prize money. There's definitely some companies that are interested, and when I mean interested, their meeting's going down, and Jason's there right now, and they're feeling pretty good about it. So you know how crucial it is. I think it was the right thing with Crocs parting ways. I think Crocs was good for what it was at that time, and it really helped us grow. But it was time to separate, and I think if we can get the right people in there, I think we can really make some big steps.
You touched on the TV production, and this appears to be a year of radical change for the AVP as they look for a new home on TV.
Yeah, no more NBC.
That's a long-time relationship.
Long-time relationship, and for me, it's bittersweet. You know, it's great to have that platform. But with ESPN coming on board and ABC, because that's real close to getting done, you're talking about 13 and a half hours on ESPN2 and 6.5 on ABC. That's a new platform for us, Barney. And the argument has always been, and I'm sure you've heard it, why isn't volleyball on ESPN? And if it is, what would it do? Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah,
we're going to find out. It's just, it'd be nice to be on SportsCenter once in a while. It'll be nice for kids that just go to ESPN, because when I go to sports, I always go to ESPN first.
Right, they're a source for
they're
sports.
They're a source.
And you'd hope that ESPN would adopt volleyball as one of their properties and bring it along and say, we're proud of this, we have this, where NBC just broadcasts events. They're not truly a sports channel.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's you hit it on the head for them to say, hey, we love this sport. It's one of ours. And if it gets to that point, I think we'll see some real growth.
Well, I hope we do. I hope that tour continues to succeed and provides more options for players. Coming out of college and moving with NCAA Sand perhaps coming along, you know, you want those players to have somewhere to go.
You know, and Reed, you and I have touched on this in the past, and you've been a part of the beach community as well. For me, and Barney, you're now on the broadcast side of it, I want to see everyone do well. Like, I think beach, indoor, they're all one for me. Yeah, they're separate sports, but volleyball is volleyball.
That's why all the arguing is so irritating to a person who's sitting outside who wants to see all sides of it do well, and all the bickering back and forth about the money and everything.
Frustrating.
And who's trying to get control of the qualifying or this section or that section. Come on, guys. Do you not realize that if indoor does great, you will do better? If you do great, indoor will do better.
No brainer.
Yeah. But nobody can see that. They're fighting over their little fiefdoms. Yeah. And I've seen that on the board level too, where you have regions from USA Volleyball fighting over a dollar increase in dues or $25 a person more a year for their membership or whatever else it is, and going, where's all that money going? And complaining about all these little things, not really seeing the greater vision of, if volleyball rises as a high level or a high profile sport, your regions will grow. You will make back that $25.
No question.
Immediately.
And with sand volleyball, I see so much plus in it and positive. Now, I get the indoor coaches that don't want it. I think what they want is the structure of it changed and you know, not losing so many days. And I think the Russ Roses of the world might see all of a sudden I won't have an advantage recruiting. But let me tell you something. I've seen Penn State play. They can win beach too. So, you know, I feel like there'll be more jobs for a lot of us out there if beach volleyball became big or sand volleyball became big in college. All of a sudden, ex-players can coach. And
Mick Haley made that argument as far as all boats rising, because my concern is, all right, you're putting more and more money into women's volleyball, and what about men's, who's already only at 4.5 scholarships? And I thought Mick made a good point that he said, look, if we get all these scholarships on the women's side and we get women's sand teams, all of a sudden people will go, well, why don't we add a men's sand team? You'll get people playing in the university. You'll get that kind of backflow, and it'll bubble up to the top.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was men's sand volleyball at college.
Probably have one scholarship.
You could have won,
though,
you could
to like
have won a
the
couple
six
national championships.
Scholarships for the women's side. But hopefully that will also change. You know, I want to get back to my weekend because, you know,
please,
it's the Net Live.
Yeah.
I just want to let everyone know I'm back to my active lifestyle and happy about it. Back to riding motorcycles a couple times a week.
Is that your
back
passion?
Back to body surfing. Well, I have to do something since I can't play volleyball anymore. Yeah. I can't jump enough to play. And playing libero for kind of good during the six-man. That's fun and all, but it's just not going to cut it for a year's worth of entertainment.
It's not going to do it for you.
No. So I get on the iron horse and fly around the dirt track. And
don't you feel better about it?
Riding?
No, just about like
life?
Starting your week after you do something on the weekend.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah. No, I do it during the week. That's my time.
I like that.
Like Thursday. What are you doing, Barney? Working? No, no, I'm
Danny,
at the track
I feel like
all
he's got a good life out here. I mean, I look at this house and things are... I look at the picture of the All-American family on the wall and I say, things are good in the Barnett household. You know what I'm talking about, Reed?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, for Mr. Mom, things are good.
Dude, I do not complain. People say, how are things? They go, I don't complain about anything. Because first of all, I just sound stupid. Secondly, who would care?
You're on your own path.
That's right. I'm on my own path. And damn it, it's a good
you should be on that reality show. What was that show called? There was the... It might have been on DirecTV. There was the five Mr. Moms, and they built a reality show around them.
I'd have
one of them was
psychotic, I think, to be on one of those shows, wouldn't I? Isn't that what TV? I mean, I watched the Soup every week. It looks like psychosis is what it looks like to me. Soup, great show, by the way.
Great show.
Now, speaking of my life and my path, I did take Dan along for a little ride down my path earlier last week with some good six-foot surf down north of Hermosa Beach Pier. We caught some waves. Dan wanted to try some body surfing and lent him a pair of fins and showed him how it was done.
It was big.
Yeah. Dan was scared. He didn't take a single wave till the end. On his way in, he took a couple inside waves. Two inside waves, but he was scared of the big stuff.
You ever gone to Newport or anything like that? Have you ever?
I've been down with Reed to the jetties and stuff. And well, actually, go with Reed to Huntington.
There's some serious body surfers there.
Yeah, the jetties are
fun.
The problem with the jetties is they're packed. They're packed with surfers. I can't believe how many people are down there.
I know.
They get great waves all summer. That's their thing. Is you can be there anytime.
We're real limited in the South Bay when you talk about surfing.
Wintertime. I wear a cap sometimes.
You wear a cap out there?
Well, dude, when the water's like 53, 54, and you go under and it burns your scalp, I'm not afraid to go cap.
Have you gotten into the craze yet?
Gosh.
Everyone says
I can't believe you just admitted that on the radio.
Reed, I was waiting for you to jump in. What am I supposed to do here?
A cap? That sounds like something Stoss would do. You wear some goggles, too?
Hey, as long as you're catching big waves, you can wear whatever you want. Hey, we're coming to our first break here, and special for the first break, we have a new Kinda Good Planet song just produced.
Oh, couldn't wait for this.
Here they come. It's Danny Kinda and Billy Allen. Yes, Dan? Getting off here on The Ball Doesn't Lie. Hope you're enjoying it here on The Net Live, thevolleyballnetwork.com.
My father told me that's on this world's rule. Don't count on nothing, not even your heart. Treat you like a fool. I haven't learned much in all my years, but one thing I advise: you can't trust women, but the ball never lies. And at 16, I fell in love twice, the second time to you. The first one when I made the JV, and volleyball was new. Why dream of spiking, and more spiking, until the sun would rise. And in the morning, I'd wake up believing that the ball never lies. Oh no. Fairy tales, empty in cheers. AGGRESSIVE. This is my final goodbye. Tomorrow I'll be back on the court, just in the ball to never lie. What's up? What's up? You lie straight to my face. I know, I know.
Dan, what happened there on the end? Welcome back to the Net Live.
Song?
The VolleyballNetwork.com. That was The Ball Never Lies by the Kinda Good Crew.
Huh.
Dan, the end of that was a little, just kind of faded out. Strong song. Just no ending. I couldn't get the drum beat out or something.
The real payoff there is the vocal layers in the chorus. I mean, that's the you wait for that. It's worth it.
Dan's favorite part is the liar, liar, pants on fire section of that.
And yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Create a schoolyard taunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice, nice, good sampling, Dan. What's next, Mother Goose? We're gonna riff off of that. What are we gonna work on? Perfect. She'll be coming around the mountain. I like it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuning into the Net Live here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. We're glad you've done it. We have in-house. What's that, Gator?
My brother Gator just McGee. Texted me, Matt
yeah.
McGee, and said, "What is that song?" Like, what that
well, we know
my
that
my brother knows good music. I mean, he prides himself on it. I'm not sure by the tone of that text.
Hey, you tell him that,
yeah.
that Danny Kinda is a international star
yeah.
now, that even Russian players, Reed, are talking
yeah.
about Danny Kinda. Reed, you're getting questions
yeah.
in Russia about that, aren't you?
Yeah, that was my favorite. Dan, I sent you the picture. You got to post that on the volleyballnetwork.com. But Taras Kate, he's like Russian superstar. I mean, he's a great player. He's playing great volleyball. He's been on their national team before. Pulls me aside. We were at dinner with a few of those guys after the match. Pulls me aside and is just like, now I saw this video on YouTube with this guy, and he starts explaining, and finally, you know, between the language, he finally like squats down and starts doing the shuffle step. He's like, "What was that?" And I was just like, "Oh, I cannot wait to tell Dan that he's an international superstar."
He was wondering what you guys did special to win that gold medal. It was the shuffle step for sure.
The shuffle step.
Awesome. Awesome. We are pleased to be joined here by guest number one for today's show. We're going to be talking to Mike Seeley later, but we have our first guest for today is a two-time gold medalist and multiple AVP champion, and she's become the face of volleyball worldwide. And
I'm excited to have her on.
Yeah, we haven't had her on yet, and soon to be mother of two. We now welcome her into the Net Live, Carrie Walsh. Carrie.
How are you guys doing?
Hi,
good.
Carrie.
Welcome to the show. We've got Geeter, this is myself, Kevin. I'm glad you chose to join us this morning. Thanks for agreeing.
No worries. Thanks for the invite.
Hey, we know you're about to have child number two, or you're in pregnancy now. How's everything going?
It's going awesome. I'm 6.5 months pregnant as of yesterday, starting my third trimester, and I feel wonderful. Being a mom to Joey has been amazing so far. He's 9 months old today, actually. And so I'm just kind of getting nervous. You know, one baby is a piece of cake, and two seems like trouble. So we'll see.
It is trouble from my own experience.
Yeah.
They fight well and play well together. So
yeah.
That's okay. They entertained each other all day yesterday, and then this morning they were beating each other up in the car. So I'm not.
Oh. I can't wait for that.
Carrie, has it been announced yet what the sex of the baby is going to be?
I think so. I mean, we're not really being shy about it. We're having another little boy. And Case and I are so proud. You know, we're so excited. Like I said, Joey's just an amazing little boy. And we're thinking Kelly Thomas for number two. And even in utero, like, he's just a different baby. So, you know, Joey's really mellow, and we're expecting Kelly to be kind of a firecracker.
That was one of the things I discovered with children, was that when they come out, they're just different. They're absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. They have their own, they're pre-wired with some personality. You just get them molded a little bit.
I bet. Nature versus nurture. We'll see how we can mess them up.
Exactly. So with child number two on the way, 6.5 months, when do you expect to resume your playing career?
You know, I am hoping to come back this summer. You know, that's the dream in my head. We'll see what happens in reality. But last summer with Joey, I was able to come back in early August. And, you know, this summer I'm kind of hoping for that same time frame since his baby is due basically exactly when Joey was due, just a year later. But I just don't know how the juggling act will be, you know, having two babies and Casey's going to be traveling so much. And so I just, you know, I'm hoping by August. But, you know, if my boys have other plans for me, then I'll just wait till 2011 and come back then and ready to go.
Carrie, looking back on last year, you came back with Rachel. You also played a tournament with Holly. And then at the end of the year, you played with Misty. Now that you're a few months removed, when you look back on that experience, what do you think of it? Was it a positive? Do you look back with great memories, or was it frustrating because you didn't get a title?
Yeah, I think all those things, Geet, and good to hear your voice. It was lovely seeing you and Millie yesterday morning. Yeah, you know, it started out wonderfully. You know, I was just so proud of Rachel and I because we worked so hard. You know, we gave ourselves, like, basically a two-month window to get back in shape for season, and we came back, and we came back, you know, in full force, and we came back really strong. But we kind of tapered off, which was really disappointing to me. I just think everything kind of caught up with us, and it was just – you know, there's a lot going on when you're a new mom, and life gets in the way, and hormones, and, you know, just things that we weren't necessarily prepared for, and kind of took our focus away from the court. But that being said, I was so proud of us, and, you know, it was just disappointing how we finished, but overall, I'm going to take a very positive experience away from that. And then playing with Holly was just, it was such a treat. You know, I want to win with her so badly. I really want to win an Open with her because we had our shot in my first year playing in 2001, and we lost in the finals, and I was just pathetic, and I really want to take that back. So I'm hoping maybe when I come back, maybe we'll hook up, you know, and get that win. And then playing with Misty was obviously it was just amazing. You know, it had been a year off, and playing with her was like it was like a day hadn't gone by. You know, and I just loved playing with her, and it was so fun. And you know, we came up short in that tournament in Glendale, but you know, it just kind of reaffirmed how special we are and how good we can be, and that's kind of what I took away from that.
Yeah, you and Misty have been incredible over the last 8 or so years and almost unstoppable. And now Misty this year is going to play with Nicole Brana in light of your absence. If they have a good year, do you think you will be back with Misty, or are there some potential changes there between now and 2020?
Goodness, you know, it kind of, like, my heart just races when I hear Nicole and Misty playing together. And they are going to do well. They're going to have a great year, and I'm absolutely hoping for that and praying for that, and I know it's going to happen. That being said, I don't want it to be too great because I don't want her to fall in love. I don't want them to fall in love with each other, you know. You know, my hope and my expectation is that we will get back together, you know, 2011. You know, that's from my side. You'd have to talk to Misty from her side. But, you know, I think she's not even probably thinking about it. She's probably thinking about kicking butt this year, which she should be doing. And I'll just be, you know, on the sideline, you know, being envious, but so proud of her and Nicole. And, you know, I'm a big fan of both of theirs. So I don't know, but I think ultimately for myself, since I'm a little self-involved right now, it's just going to be just more motivating for me to get out there and work hard and just show her, you know, you want to be back with me, don't you?
It's great to hear you use the relationship analogies for a beach volleyball partnership because it very much is like a marriage, isn't it?
Oh, it's exactly that in so many ways. And I've learned so much from my relationship with Misty. You know, we're just so interconnected and so dependent on each other. But, you know, our individual responsibilities are so important. But Misty and I, our relationship is so much more than just a partnership. And you know, we have something special, and there's no two ways about that, you know. So I just, you know, I hope after this year, after everyone has a wonderful dream year, that we can come back together and make more dreams come true starting in 2011.
You know, Carrie, in our chat room, people are popping up saying, is there a rumor that she might play with EY? Has that been discussed for the end of the season?
So funny. You know, I talked to Elaine prior, I guess in the off season in December, I believe. And I just threw it out there. I was like, because she didn't have a partner yet, and I didn't know what was going on. I said, you know, Elaine, when I come back, if you are unhappy in your, you know, in your partnership at the time, and I just want to throw it out there, you know, I'd love to play with you. I think we'd do well. I think we'd, you know, have a great time. And she was so nice and just totally was like, yeah, you know, let's definitely talk, and that would be awesome. We'd kick butt, and we're kind of on the same page. But she's playing this season with Rachel Scott. and they're going to kick butt. So I think that pretty much is out of the window. That's not an option anymore, but it's just kind of fun to think about.
All right, switching gears for a second. You were a big proponent of something we've spent a lot of time here talking about on the Net Live, and that is the NCAA sand volleyball push that occurred over the last couple of months. Tell us a little bit about your involvement and your passion in trying to get that process approved as an NCAA sport.
You know, basically, I really believe in sand volleyball as a sport, and I believe in giving opportunity to these young women. You know, indoor volleyball has been such a positive for the NCAA community and for, you know, all these young women's lives. Me, for certain, you know, indoor volleyball really started me off on my career path to my dreams, and, I will forever be grateful for indoor. And so I believe that sand has really come up in notoriety, and people, you know, the desire is there to have a collegiate sport made out of it. And so my capacity, you know, I just kind of lent my name and my voice, you know, here and there, saying I'm a big proponent. I believe only good could come out of it. That being said, I understand that, you know, times are tough and the economy is what it is, and it's always a scary and daunting thing to, you know, to add a new program, especially when it's going to take away a little bit from indoor. But I'm hoping that's just temporary, and, you know, temporary kind of discomfort will lead to long-term glory and success for both indoor and sand volleyball. And I'm a big believer that competition kind of raises the bar, and I believe that, you know, indoor will push sand to be better, and sand will push indoor to be better, and, you know, it'll eventually just come out in favor of the girls, and everyone will be, you know, really happy.
Well, you're a big supporter of the game in so many ways, pushing for sand there, and also trying now to get involved in what's been an ongoing dispute between the players and USAV. Of course, you were at the board meeting back in, I think it was November or October, presenting to the board in kind of the beginning of this with your agent, Ryan Morgan. How do you think that this ongoing dispute between the players and USAV affects the average beach player who doesn't participate in FIVB?
You know, I think it definitely affects everyone. You know, I think it's kind of a misperception that we're, you know, I'm there just fighting for what I do as a professional beach athlete. You know, I'm there fighting for my sport. And USAV, you know, they've done amazing things for indoor. And they're, I guess my main thing is that I just want equal representation for beach. And I feel like it's been very underserved, actually, since the inception of beach volleyball. So, you know, I feel like if we can go in there, and the board, they're wonderful people, you know, and USAV is a great organization. And I just feel like if we can get a little extra help for them, then, you know, together we'll just build this sport into greatness. And, you know, it's been a source of frustration, you know, because I want all the young girls and boys coming up to have every opportunity that I've had, and I want them to have more. And I feel like the sky's the limit for our sport. So for me to, you know, look at beach and feel like it's being underserved is a source of frustration. But, you know, we're working together and we're talking, and there's open dialogue, which is the first step to getting change done.
You know, Carrie, I talked to Jason Hodel, the CEO of the AVP, yesterday, and I was at the last meeting about a month ago. I felt that the AVP people walked away, and I'm asking you this question, with the sense of that strides were made, positive strides with USAV. Is that true or is that not true?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think that was a very positive meeting, and, you know, and unfortunately, it is a bit contentious, and I really don't think it has to be that way. Like I said, I just think change is really hard for a lot of people, and we're asking for certain things that we feel like the beach community deserves, and, you know, but it's going to take away from certain resources from, you know, the indoor programs, which is just a challenge. But I think that meeting was wonderful for many reasons. I think that the players' voices were heard. I love that the players all came together. You know, you had a lot of the top players representing, you know, their passion for the sport, and you had, you know, Doug Beal, the CEO, and all the board members listening and hopefully hearing that, you know, we're not there in a selfless manner. We're really here to grow the sport. And obviously we're concerned about this professional aspect. But for me, you know, actually everyone in that room, you know, we're older. We're, you know, we're late 20s, early 30s, mid-30s, and we're going to be out of this sport in a couple of years. And so what we're doing in there is really to fight for the future of the sport, which is, you know, the most important thing ever. And so I was really happy with the meeting. You know, now it remains to be seen what's going to happen from it. You know, we hope that positive actions will be taken, not just, you know, that they heard us and, you know, take it into advisement. But, you know, we want some positive strides and things put in place.
The point person in these meetings and through this whole process for the players has been Ryan Morgan, who is your agent and the agent for several of the top players. Do you think there's any conflict of interest with Ryan writing policy for all beach players, given his financial interest in some of those players?
You know, I absolutely understand that point of view. If you know Ryan for 5 seconds, I think you know how honest and trustworthy the man is. And I think if there is any selfish aspect of what he's doing, it's because he wants his players to have a tour on, and, you know, and then on a side note, he gets to make money off his players. But he works his butt off, and he loves the sport, and he sees the potential, and I really feel like he's put his heart and soul into this. And he's not making any money off these negotiations. You know, he's in there representing me. He knows how much I love the sport, and we talk. We've worked for years, you know, with FIVB, you know, fighting these battles, you know, and we feel like what we ask for is reasonable. So if it's good for us, it's really going to be good for the whole, you know, of the group of players. And so I don't believe there's a conflict of interest. I feel like he's the best man for the job because, A, he's willing, B, he's really fair and honest, and C, you know, he knows what's going on. He's been on all sides of it. So, no, I don't think there's a conflict. I think we're, you know, he's a very capable and able leader, and I'm really proud of him.
Hey, Carrie, I know you want to play about 10 more years, maybe have another kid or two. A lot of athletes get into business after playing. I know you had some great meetings in New York. You were there last week. What are Carrie Walsh's interests after volleyball? Do you want to get into business?
I do. You know, I, like you said, my career, you know, the window for an athlete is small, you know, and I feel like I've lived such an amazing life in my career so far. But like you said, I like to play until I'm about 38, you know, around there. I'm 31 now. So I hope to play volleyball for a long time. And as, you know, as I continue to play, I hope to kind of build a brand and build a business for sure. I'm not exactly sure what I like to do business-wise, but like you said, I was in New York and meeting with some amazing people. I met with iVillage, which is the biggest social networking site for women online, and, you know, we just had some really good ideas. You know, I'm hoping to be a contributing editor and give them, you know, video footage and just kind of be a resident expert, basically, on their site. But, you know, I'm trying to model myself after Gabrielle Reese and, you know, Heidi Klum and these amazing women who have amazing families, and they also, you know, are amazing career women, and they've done so well for themselves. And I've just learned a lot from Gabby in the past couple of years and how she really takes the reins and, you know, steers her ship. You know, for so long I've really kind of let opportunities come to me, but now I'm to the point where I really want to create some things, and I want to be really vested in it and have my, you know, have my perspective shown. And so we'll see. You know, nothing definite right now, but we're putting the buzz out there and seeing what happens.
Barney, I got to say, I've known Carrie for a lot of years, and she really is the face and voice for volleyball,
yeah,
whether she likes it or not. But she's really a great ambassador. And Carrie, I don't think we could have a better person out there pushing our sport.
That's so nice.
Yeah, Carrie, you've been great. I remember running into you a long time ago at 24 Hour Fitness when you and Misty were first kind of getting along, and I was injured. This is back in like 2000 or so. 2000.
I remember. Off Rosecrans.
Yeah, right off Rosecrans, and I remember saying, hey, I'm really glad that you guys are getting so much attention, that you guys are starting to cross over, because I think it's great for the sport that people are starting to know you as the face. When you mention women's volleyball, they mention Misty and Carrie. They're mentioning Gabby less often, which I appreciate. We've had some controversy on this program with the fact that I think Karch gets mentioned way too much. We don't hear enough about somebody new, and so it's been great to see you kind of fill that void on the women's side and really for volleyball as a whole.
Yeah, well, that's nice, Kevin. I appreciate it. And, you know, I think Karchi probably deserves every single mention that he gets. And I feel like us people who are up and coming and, you know, we need to work to get our names out there. It's not just going to come to you. And that's really what I've learned in these past couple of years, is that you really need to take the proactive approach, and then you need to do something when you catch that lightning in the bottle. You know, and Karchi caught lightning in a bottle many times over, you know, and Gabby created who she is, and you can't really take anything away from them. And so just to learn from them and go out there and, you know, put your name out there and make it worthwhile.
Yeah, that's a great point about creating opportunity. You're listening to The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We're talking to two-time Olympic gold medalist Carrie Walsh. Carrie, we've got one more question before we'll get you out of here on this. Outside of volleyball, what kind of sports do you enjoy watching or participating in?
You know, I grew up a basketball player and a baseball player, and that's kind of where I really like to, you know, I enjoy watching those sports. I'm a big NFL fan, and I've become so the past couple of years. Just my relationship with Gatorade has allowed me to go to the Super Bowl a couple of times, and I've really just fallen in love with the game, you know. And so I think football, basketball, baseball. You know, I'm a Giants fan for life, and which is tough being in LA. There's Dodgers fans everywhere. which is just rough. But, you know, I'm a sports fanatic in general. I'm really supporting the Winter Olympics right now. You know, I'm so proud of Bodie Miller and the transition he made from Torino, where it was just so tough for him, and he created such a tough atmosphere to come out with, you know, bronze, silver, and gold. And I'm just, you know, I'm a sports buff.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Carrie, we wish you the best of luck through the rest of pregnancy and look forward to your return to professional volleyball. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Carrie Walsh.
Carrie. Thanks.
Here on the Net Live. We're glad you tuned in. It's a lot of fun talking to her. I thought she had some great points,
yeah,
particularly about creating opportunity.
I'm telling you, interviewed her a lot of times for AVP stuff and on occasion for other stuff, but I'm always amazed. You know, friendship aside, I think she's got a lot to say. She's smart.
She's articulate.
She's articulate.
Yep.
And she's not afraid of a tough question.
Yeah.
She'll answer it honestly. To me, that's impressive. And as a woman athlete, I can't see anybody that you'd rather have.
Yeah, I want to stress it again. The idea of creating opportunities, so, not something I understood as a younger player. The idea of you are a marketable entity. Go out and create it. Don't expect someone to come to you. You know, don't sit around your dorm room waiting for somebody to come and give you money for something. Go out and make the connections. Go meet the people and try and build yourself into something more than just somebody who hits the ball.
And you know what's amazing about Carrie? She doesn't enjoy public speaking. A lot of people don't, but she's really, really good at it, and she's worked at it. She goes to her old high school. She'll go to Stanford. And every time I watch her, I tell her, you're great at public speaking. But yet, she, you know, it's something that she's really got to work at. I told Phil Dahlhauser to do the same thing, Dan.
You know, Phil Dahlhauser
go on public speak.
He's got to do that. Those guys should be huge, but they're just not quite as big as I would hope
and
they
you know
would be.
Phil, and you know Phil, he's great. And he's funny.
Oh, he's a cool guy. We had him on the show. He was fun.
He's fun.
Yeah. You know, she brought up Gabby Reese. I've wondered recently about Gabby Reese. What happened with the whole golf thing? I mean, there was all the promotion.
Away. What happened?
Yeah, it just disappeared. It was like Y2K. You never heard
another
about
kid
it after
maybe?
A few days.
Is she three now?
I don't know. I see Laird on American Express.
I mean, Laird just drops in on like 60-foot bombs, so it's like how, you know, probably just overshadowed.
He shows up on 60 Minutes every now and again. It's amazing. Here's
they really
the guy.
Are a power couple.
They are. It's amazing.
A lifestyle power couple, I should say.
Yeah.
Kevin, did you have to mention Karch again like that? I mean, did
I
you not learn anything from the Facebook war? And
oh, did...
Oh, we had some problems.
When you said Karch gets mentioned too much, people lit you up?
No.
Oh.
They lit him up. Because I put up a picture that was Karch with the big Ghostbusters X across it, right?
Reed, you didn't like that, did you?
And it said no. A couple of factual mistakes in part of the discussion.
Gotcha.
And there was a mistake in the syntax that made it seem like Karch was injuring the sport himself.
He misspelled Karch. It was
not weird. Spelled Karch.
What?
Rally. Because, and Karch agreed with this theory. My opinion is that Karch is irrelevant except in the discussion of current stars. Then he is absolutely relevant to the sport. He's the greatest of all time. He is absolutely relevant. But he is irrelevant if we don't have stars to take the reins and be the face today. And that's what Carrie's
absolutely
done for the women. But on the men's side, we don't have anyone who's really gotten that same level of appeal that if I say to somebody the word volleyball, they still say Karch. They need to be saying Reed Pretty. They need to be saying Phil Dahlhauser.
No. I don't have three gold medals. I mean,
that's enough.
I agree with Carrie's point that you got to –
listen,
you know,
Jordan's got championships and LeBron doesn't, but who do you hear about now? LeBron.
And in beach volleyball, Barney, it's Hobb, Dodd, St. John Stokey still, but they're, you know, who I love those guys, and they paved the way for everybody, but
right. We
need to have those guys now, guys that have their own
right. Role. That drives me nuts because those guys, they were great. They built the sport. They're responsible for the success of the sport. But they are not responsible for today's success of the sport. And if you talk about today's stars, if you talk about Phil, you talk about Todd, and then you bring up Mike Dodd, you bring up Tim Hovland, you bring up Stoklos, Smith, you know, Hovland, whoever you want to bring up, that's great. That's what's going to build the history of the sport. Yep. But the sport can't exist on its history alone, which I think has unfortunately happened over the last 10 or 15 years. It's been more of a history-based experience versus a current today, I can idolize this guy today experience.
I would like to build on that momentum of the men's team in 08 because I think what they did was one of the most remarkable things in sports, especially if you followed that team. And they did it with such joy and passion, and they had star power. And you just hope it carries over.
I hope so. If they win another gold medal, it will. Reed Pretty, get on that.
Well, I think the bottom line is people have to see it. You know, like I think Loy Ball's the end of his career is I keep referencing it on this show. He's won everything, but nobody's seen it, so nobody cares.
It's not over yet. He's going to come back to the national team next year. We're going to talk.
Well, that aside, I mean, that's the bottom line. If people aren't seeing it, you know, in the 90s, they were on they were on NBC. You know, they were
yeah.
the beach. They went from the 80s to the 90s and were accessible. Karch, you could see him win all the time. So if you saw, you know, people competing and winning all the time, but, you know, guys now, girls now are going over to Europe for 8 months. You don't see them, or on the F5EB tour, we don't even really have access to to those matches. So I think we got to see it first.
That's why people tune into the Net Live, so they can follow these people. You become vested in these people. People want to see Reed Pretty do well now. All right, we're going to move on to guest number two. No breaks here on the Net Live today. It's all about guests and people. You are listening to Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We have Chris Giedermagee in studio. And we've booted Feels Dan good. To the couch. You can if you want to talk to Dan, if you care at
you
all
can't
about
even
Dan.
Hear him.
No, you can find him in the chat room. You can go to the chat room at thevolleyballnetwork.com/thenetlive. Just click in the upper left on the Net Live from thevolleyballnetwork.com. We're going to bring now into the show, we have the new head coach, the second ever head coach for the NCAA UCLA women.
And the owner of my national championship ring in 1993.
Did he buy it from you?
He beat us.
Oh, that's right. He just took it. Took it from your cold, dead hand.
Earned it.
But he is the new head coach out there at UCLA. He's going to be taking over the women's program from Andy Banikowski, a former teammate of mine on the national team and again in Belgium, Mike Seely. Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mike.
I'm kind of confused. I wanted to come on and talk about Karch the whole time, but now I'm afraid to.
Hey, Mike, how hard was it to pull yourself out of the water this morning? I know there was that no swell that was wrapping around.
You know, life is funny. And when I got the UCLA job, the quote that kept running through my mind, you know, I thought I was going to be in Hawaii a long time. And there's a quote that if you want to make the universe laugh, just tell it what your plans are. And my plans this morning were to surf and somehow ended up at the DMV instead. So, you know.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think most people, when they get a big-time NCAA position like UCLA, boy, they'd be right on it, but you're out surfing in Hawaii. I like that.
Well, tying up some loose ends, so when I start, I can start, you know, full bore. I just dug up my whole front yard in Hawaii. I can't really bounce over to L.A. and tell my wife to finish the project kind of stuff. trying to be the responsible homemaker.
Where are you going to live, Northridge?
I'm going to live out the ridge. Hopefully, I'm hoping your dorm is still available.
Come on. You're making more money than that, buddy.
You can't live there.
I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to live. I'm going to live with friends and family until I get started. Figure it out.
So they lowballed you, did they?
What's that?
They lowballed you on the salary. You got to live on someone's couch. That's unfortunate. Sorry to hear that.
But it's Southern California. The place is expensive. It's even worse than Hawaii.
No doubt. Well, hey, Mike, you did get the job. There was a lot of competition for that position at UCLA. Tell us a little bit about the interview process.
You know, I interviewed three times in the last 9 months for various positions. And the first time I interviewed, nerve-wracking. It was almost like a Miss America pageant. I felt like every answer had to be perfect or they're going to kick me out of the room. And this process was, you know, I want to say easy for me, but it's the same administration that was there when I had coached there before. So I'm not saying by any means that, they just gave me the job, but it was nice to sit in an interview where you actually felt like you were just talking and you were just having a discussion and never even felt like an interview process. So in that sense, I was very grateful to have been so comfortable with all the people involved.
Do you feel like your experience as an assistant coach in that program, you spent 4 years in the men's program and one in the women's, is that correct? And then you knew all these people and it really put you at ease?
Yeah, it definitely put me at ease. There are people that I had a working relationship with. So all of a sudden when we're sitting in the office, you know, and they're asking questions about the program, this and that, I didn't feel like I was at a pageant coming up with, you know, the one answer that's correct. I was expressing my ideas and what I thought, history of the program and the direction that, you know, I wanted it to go, and it never felt like the answers were going to be the end-all, be-all. It was just having a discussion with two coworkers.
Hey, Mike, I think you always kind of wanted to get back to UCLA. I don't know if you thought it would happen this fast, but Andy had been there over 40 years. When you were in that interview process, did you think this might be my last chance to get back to UCLA?
You know, I never even when I heard that Andy had retired, I was sitting in my office in Hawaii. And, you know, we just come off a Final Four season, and the 2010 recruiting class looks great for Hawaii, and we had the inside track on some amazing 11s, and I was thinking, yeah, we're on the path to something great for years to come. And then someone had texted me and said that Andy retired. My heart dropped in my stomach because I knew I had no choice but to go after that job. And that's probably the only job that I would have interviewed for at that time.
Well, during the process, I imagine they asked you what your vision for the program was. What was your response to that question?
You know, the vision on any team is you got to be as good as you can possibly be. You know, it's not every team in the country has is sitting there saying, well, we're going to win a national championship. Some teams, it's, well, we want to finish 500. Some, it's, we want to win a league title. And I think we all know the UCLA's, you know, dream every year should be winning a Pac-10 and a national championships. I think there's tons of talent in Southern California. A lot of that talent has been leaving in recent years. I know that Texas has built a great program with some Southern California recruits. I know that, you know, Washington is always looking for some great SoCal talent. I just want to give them a viable option to stay home. And I'm looking for the kid that not only want to be successful in college, but have Olympic dreams and post-collegiate dreams.
What do you think your advantages are in that recruiting process then, trying to draw kids to UCLA versus going to a Washington or a Texas?
Well, you know, especially now at this day and age where they're committing so early, it's you're talking to 16 and a half year old kids. And, you know, a lot of them at that point in their lives are excited to stay home and play in front of friends and family. I think it always helps UCLA is that it's a, you know, it's a top 25 university in the country and has an amazing volleyball program. So you're giving the kids great life balance.
Mike, with the loss of Amanda Gill transferring and Lauren Cook transferring back to Nebraska, I'm imagining you just want to kind of hang in there this year. And I know you just had a big signing in Megan Manoa, junior setter.
No signing, and I believe I cannot comment about that.
Yeah, she committed, though, correct?
I'd have to read some volley blog somewhere.
Gotcha. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. I can't discuss any athletes that aren't signed.
Gotcha.
Mike, you played
Peter,
for.
You know, Peter, this is tough. It's not. We're just hanging out at the Ridge anymore.
I know.
I gotta be professional. He's all grows up.
Well, I just want to pass you that. I just want to show if you could pass that first test as a head coach, and you did.
Thank you. I did. My compliance officer will be very happy.
Mike, you spent a long time playing as a professional player. And after your college career, how does your experience as a professional inform or translate to your coaching style?
I think for sure playing overseas, you know, everyone will always say that, you know, it's great that I, you know, coached with Al Skades and Andy Bannikoffi, Dave Shoji, all these guys that have been around forever. And I think that is definitely true. But playing in Europe and playing professionally gives you so much more access to a bunch of different ideologies and styles. So between the 6 years that I played overseas, I mean, I had a coach from a different country every time. So you're learning, you know, what they think is right or how they like to do. And you can just pick and choose what you love about their style, what you don't like. So I know, you know, what to do and kind of what not to do. I think especially as a player, too, I look back at my career, and a lot of my career, you know, it didn't go the way I would have loved it to go. You know, I sure would have loved to have been an Olympian and gone that route, and it just didn't work out. And it never made sense to me until I started coaching. And I finally realized that in my playing career, I was every type of player at some point. I was the arrogant knucklehead, you know, little overzealous. I was a team leader. And I went through a phase where, you know, I was afraid to set warm-ups and my confidence was shot. So as soon as I started coaching and I had players with confidence issues, I realized that now I have wisdom in that area. And when I'm speaking to a player about anything, you know, I feel like I've walked in those shoes and I'm not reading to them from a psychology book. So I was very, very thankful for that.
Have you ever warned your players about getting electrocuted by a horse fence sometime during the season?
You know, I just would recommend that make sure foreign teams never hire two Americans at the same time. They definitely electrocute themselves.
For those of you out there, Mike and I played together on a Belgian team called Nolico Mosaic. We had a rather successful season, finished second in Champions League, won the Belgian Cup, won the Belgian Championship. But somewhere during playoffs, we were out at the farm that I lived on, leaning over the gate to the horses and the sheep and everything else. And our Belgian opposite picked up the gate fence that would move across, and he touched the bottom of the electric fence to my palm, and it jolted through me, and there was a giant mastiff dog on this farm, and it was leaning against me while Mike was petting it. So the dog, it went through me, into the dog, through the dog to Mike. And the dog went screaming away, yelping. And Mike got jolted like in the head, and oh, it's just brutal.
So basically, it was the afternoon before our first champions match. So this is big right. time, and Barney needs to get a big win so I can get my bonus. That's what has to happen here. But yeah, it goes through Barnett, through a Great Dane, I believe.
Oh.
And I just remember I was just standing there looking at a horse, and then my chest compressed, and both my arms shot above my head without me trying to do it. And then I realized what had happened, and I felt like I was still wrong for a good 48 hours.
But that explains a lot.
Since I was only used as a blocking sub in that series, it was just fine. I was more worried about Barnett, who was hitting 90 balls a night.
Well, and I will never ever try and cross through a horse fence again. If you put me in a corral, I won't try and get out. I'll just stay there. No.
I may have saved your life.
Well, Mike, now that you're the head coach and you get an opportunity to hire assistants, who are you going to be your targets?
You know, I've actually went into the process with my coaches already in place. The first job I interviewed for earlier in the year, they kind of wanted to do that. So I felt if I could interview with my staff in place, then I was interviewing as three people instead of just one. So I think they like that. So I'm going to keep Dan Connors in place, who's been a
I love that.
Very good coach. What's funny was that, so I actually, don't tell anybody this, so all you listeners don't.
Nobody listens.
I actually worked at the Ridge one year, the house that Geeter built.
Greatest year of your life.
I got to drive the Mata bus with a team full of duct tape and just disgustingness.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. College
year. So when I left that program, you know, the coach asked, do I have any recommendations? I said, hey, you know, Dan Connors. So Dan went there, was great, you know, was there for about 3 or 4 years, I believe. Then I finally leave UCLA to go to Hawaii, and Coach Banikowski says, hey, you got any recommendations? And I said, well, Dan Connors. So he went to UCLA, and, you know, he's been there for 4 years. And then, you know, new staff comes in. I figure I've hired him on all his jobs, might as well keep up the trend. So Dan's going to stay in place.
Good
and nothing's official yet, but Joy McKenzie is going to help me as the other assistant. Sure.
Very nice.
A lot of setters on that staff. Mike, what's going to be your role?
My role? Well, I'm a head coach now, so it's golf and surf, right?
Exactly.
I finally made it, and I can just hang out.
The Alice Gates model.
No. So, you know, I when it's all said and done, I think, you know, Dan will be kind of during match a defensive coordinator running block defensive schemes, and I think Joy's a great person to have as your offensive coordinator running offense. And I'm just going to hold on tight.
Very nice. Well, hey, we wish you the best of luck, Mike. Thanks a lot for joining us here on the show. We'll be following your progress and your move to
Southern
California.
Oh, he's going to be coming on a lot more now.
Oh, yeah.
Now that he's moving.
Oh, yeah,
I'm a little upset I never meant enough to you guys as an associate head coach at Hawaii and just an all-around friend. As soon as I get this high-profile gig, all of a sudden I'm getting phone calls. It's a little,
hey,
a
now
little
you're hurt. Somebody. Now you're somebody. Just remember that.
Okay.
No,
good.
No one can take it away from you anymore.
Well, in that case, I'm a huge fan of the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Seely,
go
new head coach. We hope you catch some of that swell before you come home.
I will try.
All right, thanks a lot for joining us.
Mike did a great job of answering that question I asked correctly, which I apologize for. But you know, in the club world, you hear about where everybody's going, and there's a junior setter that's apparently going to go to UCLA now. She's told everybody at least, but I guess Mike.
It has to be confirmed. I'm about to take this test. I have to on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Go ahead
and
take this.
Because I don't know the rules. I don't have to know the rules, Dan.
I have a Mike Seely story.
You have a Mike Seely story? Better than being with Mike?
Make sure he's off the line, though, before...
he's gone. He's not listening.
Okay, good. Yeah. So,
it's not like it's on podcast or anything.
It was the tryout for... It was kind of like a world... It was a world unis tryout together with the national team tryout in... that must have been 07 in... Or no, I'm sorry, 2000... 97. What am I saying? 98.
Okay. What year?
Whenever you guys moved to Colorado Springs, what year was that?
97. Yes, very good.
97. And it was the second day. I didn't even expect to make it to the second day. So it was kind of weird because they had World Uni guys on the same court as guys trying out for the national team, which was going to be their job. And Sully and Seely were on my team, and they were all over me. They're like, just go stand in the corner. I'm not going to set you, and we don't want you to pass the ball. They were so mean, and I was just like, man, these guys are so mean. If this is what the national team is like, I don't want to play.
So I was in the gym at that point, too, then. I don't remember that.
Big too.
Sully almost cost us a gold medal in 08 if Reed would have retired because of those two guys.
They used to go first to Colorado Springs. There was a bar that had a beach court. They used to go and, like, white men can't jump people. They used to just go and take people's money.
I wish you would have asked him that.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Next time he's on,
stuff.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, he and Sullivan. Oh, God, you want to play a game? We'll play, you know, because nobody knows we're there anyway. Heck, we were there 9 years. No one knew we were there. Could still go and play in
that
same
amazing.
Bar.
That's amazing.
Awesome stuff. Awesome. You know, Mike, he was the backup on the Belgian team, but he played in the Champions League final. He was a starter in the Champions League final because we paralyzed the starting setter. Paralyzed. Right before the match, our doctors give an injection to our setter who has back pain, give him an injection. He's sitting on the table. The next thing you know, he's laying on the floor because he can't move his legs. They gave him an epidural, essentially, because they missed the spot where the injection was supposed to go. So Seeley ends up playing the entire Champions League final, and this dude gets in the car and goes back to the hotel paralyzed for 2.5 hours.
While Seeley gets the glory.
While Seeley gets the glory.
Was that guy better than Seeley? Because Seeley was a good setter.
Seeley was a good setter, but this guy, Towards the end, offense just flowed better. It may have been one of those periods we should ask Mike about his confidence kind of being down. Mike was a little dark. He disappeared for like a month, even though he lived like a mile from me. There was some stuff going on. But
good stuff for his next interview.
Yeah, exactly.
And remember, jot these notes down.
It was a great season. I enjoyed playing with Mike. All right, we will be back momentarily. We're going to try and take a little break here if we can get the music put up. Dan, what? Acapella? No, we're not going acapella. We're just going to go right into break. I'm going to unmute the commercial track. We'll see you in just a minute. The Volleyball Network, The Net Live. All right, welcome back into the Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. We're glad you're here. Glad you're being a part of the program. It's been a great show so far, one of our best. We've had Kerry Walsh in for an interview, and now Mike Seeley, new UCLA women's head coach. And Geeter McGee,
it's been awesome
studio.
By the way.
Oh, this is great to have you here. We've got to make this a regular thing.
You know, I'm logging on to the chat room. It's fun to see everyone's comments out there.
Yeah, people they get their own discussion going. It's almost like another show. It doesn't even matter what we're talking about. You occasionally see us interjected into that conversation, but mostly they just sort of do whatever they want. What are you shouting about, Dan? Really? He's in the chat room?
And you know what? He's heckling you. You have no microphone.
That's right. But Dan is sitting in the sun, though. He looks happy. He looks kind of like my cat. I'm surprised that my cat isn't sitting next to him.
Those were two great guests back-to-back.
Yeah, these are the volleyball people that we're trying to bring. Well, guys, let's get to the competitive slam down. We're going to skip questionable calls this week, but let's get to the competitive slam down. Reed, I know you love this part of the show. Wait a minute. We just lost Reed Pretty. We have lost Reed Pretty. He's gone. You know what? The competitive slam down started, and he decided he was out of here. We're going to get him right back. Come on back, Reed Pretty. Competitive slam down coming up now. Dan, do you actually have 10 questions that have answers instead of this fake stuff? Yes? Yes. Okay. To share a microphone with Geeter. We can't get Reed Pretty back, so it looks like it's Geeter and I. Reed Pretty's out of the show.
Take this call, and then you just shout your name real loud.
Okay. Geeter, you shout your name real loud.
Right? All right, here we go. Yes, here we go. Here. Question here we go. Number one.
Number one. You got to get this within 1 minute of the actual time.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to know this if you watched,
here we go.
If you watched ESPN last week. How long was Tiger Woods' speech last?
Kevin. 15 minutes.
13 minutes.
Correct. 13 and a half.
Oh.
They must have said that on ESPN 50 times on Friday.
God, I could not escape the Tiger story.
I thought I was going to get bageled because I'm a rookie here. I'm just happy to have.
Oh,
he's
just angling all towards you. The next question is going to be about Northridge.
No. I thought about it.
It's going to be about grass volleyball.
Here we go. How many gold medals does Apollo Ohno
Kevin.
Have?
Three.
Two.
Your name?
Geeter. Correct.
You got to leave the mic in front of him so he can give the answer. You just assume he knows it. We barely hear it tailing off. He could have said anything.
Do we have Reed?
No, he's gone. We tried to get him back, but he's out of the show. Forget about him.
That's okay. Uh-oh, this one was for, this was like...
Tailor-made for Reed? Is it about Corinthians 1:7?
One of you guys. I don't know if anyone will get it. Okay, so yesterday I was on bvbinfo.com, and they have birthdays. What men's national team member's birthday was yesterday?
Geter.
Totally guessing. Riley's?
No.
Kevin.
Clay. Donald Sujo. I figured maybe you guys would know. I mean,
I should know. Don's going to be upset now. He probably listens to the show. I'm in big trouble.
Barney should know that one.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get in and guess anybody.
He was my guy. He's the one who flowed me some balls in 04, so I should know. I should know him.
All right.
Sorry, Don.
Number four. This one is ridiculous. I can't believe it exists. Fill in the blanks at the end of this.
Is anyone keeping score?
This is a...
I think it's Geter,
yeah, Geter's
two.
Geter's got it.
Geter two.
2-0 Geter.
This may be your last appearance. Okay.
And one Dan, because you guys didn't get that.
Oh, great. So if you stump us, you get a point.
Balderdash rules.
All right, here we go. All
right. Fill in the blanks. This is a title of a new movie. Hot Tub Blank Blank.
Geter.
Hot Tub City Nights.
That new AVP event?
No, I couldn't believe what I saw.
Kevin. Hot Tub.
You're not going to get it if you're guessing.
Bob.
All right. It's all over. It's going to start being huge like Snakes on the Plane.
Oh, boy.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, my goodness. Dan, where are you getting this trivia? The idea is that we could get someone to compete. Yeah, maybe we have Geter write the trivia from now on.
It is pretty stupid.
Great, Dan has two. He's scoring for himself. All
right. Geter, you better get this one.
Somebody new Time Machine. Middle hitter.
Middle hitter. Jerry. Yeah. Oh, middle Jerry won. Put Jerry down for one.
All right. What about guest 1700? What's he got? All right, here we go.
He had Lambo's birthday.
Okay.
1700 Lambo.
No good. All right.
The TV game show The Price is Right has had how many hosts?
Kevin. How many hosts?
Yeah.
In its entirety?
Yeah, ever.
It's either two or three. I'm trying to think if there was anybody before Barker.
Geter doesn't want to open
his Geter, don't give away your answer.
Now, there's a reason. I want Geter to explain why I'm asking this question.
I know why. I've seen some tape. I'm going to go with three. Oh, I should have gone with two.
Two?
Two is correct.
I outthought myself.
Yeah, just Bob Barker and Drew Carey. Geter.
I feel like I should have hosted that show. Because I did win a car, and you all know it.
It was a Thunderbird. Was it a Thunderbird?
A Mercury Grand Marquis.
Grand Marquis.
You can YouTube it. Chris McGee, Price is Right.
Oh, we've linked to that on Kind of Get.
And Phil Etherton.
And I was wearing jean shorts. I know already.
And a backspin.
I know. Yeah, Bob.
A backspin.
Yeah, Bob.
You can also look up Phil Etherton. He's also appeared on The Price is Right. Went to the showcase.
That's right. I did hear that. I haven't seen it yet, though.
Multiple volleyball players.
Taryn Keith or someone, a qualifier, girls qualifier on the AVP. Shoes on it. I don't know.
Nice. All right. People. Yeah, Dan. All right. Geter, are you really? You have three. Dan has two. I have none.
Wow. Okay.
Jerry's got one. Way to go, Jerry. Middle hitter.
All right. What? This is tough. What year did indoor volleyball become an official Olympic sport?
Kevin.
What you got?
1964.
Correct.
Yes. Mexico City.
Geter,
yes.
No,
68 is Mexico City.
It was Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Yeah. Okay. Number seven. The U.S. men's indoor Olympic team has won 4 indoor Olympic medals. Which player has the most?
Kevin. Oh, Geter. Got it.
Karch Karai?
Indoor. Karch has 2. Someone?
Someone has more?
Has more.
Bob Svertlik.
Geter, you want to try it again?
Geter, you can go again.
Come on, man. You got to...
Who's the wraparound all the way to
this
Barcelona?
This is my roommate.
Who's the wraparound to Barcelona? Yeah, that's the question.
Oh, come on.
Because it's a bronze and 2 golds, right?
Oh, come on.
It's a bronze and 2 golds? You're next.
Steve Simmons.
Ding, 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 ding,
oh.
ding. 84, 88, and 92.
Someone had Partee.
No, Partee didn't make it to the last event. Yeah.
I'm the only one who got that right, not the board.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, Partee and Fortune and Svertlik. All those guys were 88 and 92. And
I didn't realize Timmons was around in 84. So Timmons is a backup middle at that point, I think. In 84?
Oh,
he was a middle.
No, in 84?
Yeah.
No, I thought he was still just ripping.
Hold on. Reed Pretty claims he's back. We'll see if we can conference him back in. He's alleging.
Pat Powers was 84 as well, right? Wasn't he starting?
Pat Powers is starting opposite in 84, right?
84,
yeah, but Timmons didn't become the opposite until like 87 or something. They stuck him in a match because somebody got hurt, and he never came out again, ever.
Let's get Timmons on this show one time. He's
yeah.
you ever had him? He's
no.
That guy's phenomenal.
I wore his gear for a long time. I wore Red Sand stuff in the late 90s.
I still have
middle 90s.
The volleyball shirt.
All right, we'll get him.
All right. Reed, you there?
Reed.
I'm here.
Oh, all right, he did. All right, we're on question number 8. Geeter's killing me.
All right. According to this person's Wikipedia page, what volleyball legend used to babysit Misty May Trainer? I read this last night on Wikipedia. I couldn't
believe
it.
Male or female? Give us a
male.
Male.
Come on. Someone say your name.
Eric Sato.
No. No, it's got to be somebody old with Butch May. I can't think of anybody.
No, it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be?
No.
Mike Dodd? Karch Karai?
You
got to say your name, pretty.
Reed, you get one answer.
Only Randy Stoklos would put that on the Wikipedia page. Stoklos.
No, it's not Stoklos. If it was Stoklos, he'd put it on someone else's. Kevin.
Sinjin Smith.
All right, you've all had two guesses. No, Reed.
No, I haven't.
You looked it up off the chat board.
I did.
Karch Karai.
Wow.
No. Look up Karch Karai's Wikipedia page. At the bottom, it says he used to babysit Misty Major.
We'll have to ask him what he got paid per hour
for
that job.
I didn't say that it was true. I said
Wikipedia
according
says it's true.
Wikipedia.
Okay, all right. Anyway, moving on. Question 10. 10 or 9?
9. This one's tough. What style of car does Clint Eastwood drive in the movie Gran Torino?
Since I have now rented it 3 times and have yet to watch it, as it sits on top of my PlayStation over there, I have no idea.
Oh my
Mercury
God.
Grand Marquis.
Didn't he have the 64 Mustang?
It's a Gran Torino. That's
You didn't even give Reed a chance, dude. He's on the delay. He hasn't even heard the question yet.
No, he didn't even say anything.
I'm not sure he's still there.
It's a Ford Gran Torino.
I'm here. All right. I said Gran Torino. I don't know if the connection.
Yeah. We are.
Why do we all think ourselves?
I wouldn't have gotten
what
that
is
one
a
either.
Gran Torino? I don't even,
I
is
just
it a Ford?
Watched, I just watched, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's even real. I don't know.
By the way,
great movie.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. I may just return it and not watch it again.
I just watched it last night. Barney's got it sitting right over there. Yeah, I liked it.
All right, question 10. Wrapping up the show. Question 10. Make it strong, Dan.
Geeter, you're out of this one.
Oh, no Geeter.
Spell Geeter's last name.
Kevin. Reed. M-C-G-E-E, maybe?
Ding, 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 ding.
That's what I was going to say, but I said my name first. I'll take credit for that. M-C-G-E.
By the way, Reed is right, but we are going to add a point to Barney and take one off for me because someone wrote in, Price is Right has had 3 hosts.
Oh, it has.
One before Bob Barker. I don't know, Dan Madden.
Woo!
Wait. Link. We need a link.
All right. We'll have to settle that later.
Doesn't matter. I still won.
Hey, we did have somebody write in from last week, send us a nice email. I wish I'd give them credit. I don't have it up in front of me. About the biathlon. It is actually 22 caliber rifles that they shoot in the biathlon. That
rifles,
was a question from last week.
The answer was rifle.
Yeah, but we didn't know what it was. It was pellet.
What style of rifle?
Yeah, what style of rifle, what
well,
caliber.
Someone thought it was a pellet gun.
I said it could be a pellet gun. Well, running target is shot with a pellet gun. You know this? It's an Olympic sport.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. All right,
Reed Pretty, are you
Geeter,
back?
Here's the mic.
Are you back for the end of the show? I'm here. Yeah?
Reed, I appreciate
I'm here.
A name right.
Yeah, you're right on.
Although Kevin said Kevin way before you jumped in. But that's fine.
So I
always delay. I always delay.
Give him something. We have to give him something. All right. Geeter, we've appreciated being here on the Net Live.
Happy birthday, Donald Sucho.
Happy birthday, Don Sucho.
Something new.
We need a happy birthday segment at the end of I keep getting all the things. PTI.
What are the chances of me being asked back? That's what.
Oh,
really
dude, you're back for sure. We're going to have Mike.
Open invite with it. We've actually got a show coming up that's going to be a special 2-hour edition. We're going to get some killer guests. Stay tuned on the volleyballnetwork.com. We're redoing the site. Right, Dan?
We have promised you a new site. Dan has been in a creative bubble, as it was put, getting the site ready. We've seen a mock-up of the Volleyball Network version 37. It will eventually come to fruition.
A lot of good photos. A lot of good photos in that mock-up, by the way.
Yeah, good headline.
I really like it.
We'll have some good stuff. So we'll look forward to that. We'll have more great guests next week. We're going to have another great show, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Want you to be there. This has
it
been.
Goes fast.
It does. That's an hour and 20 minutes. Thanks for hanging in there. We appreciate it. The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We are available on iTunes. Search The Volleyball Network, and you will get The Net Live. Subscribe for free today. We'll see you next Monday.
Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
This has been a VolleyballNetwork.com production.